of the book of St. Luke, beginning at verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great off, way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto the father, I sin against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. I want to continue our discussion on five S's for getting your life on the right track. Let me just ask you a question. Do you know somebody that need to get their life on the right track? Do you know somebody today that is on the wrong track? Maybe it's a son. Maybe it's a daughter. Maybe it's a relative. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a friend. But it is so important that we get our life going in the right way, on the right track. Because let me tell you, it's important to understand that getting on the right track is important because it's difficult getting people off the wrong track. Anybody know that? It's difficult to break bad habits that are especially destructive. In this 15th chapter of the book of Luke is a story that never gets old. This is why you know the Bible's relevant. Because all you got to do is just pay attention to this parable. And remember that this is a parable. This is a parable that Jesus gave to his disciple. And what a parable is, it is that Jesus takes a natural situation and shows spiritual implication and application. You see, Jesus take the natural to help us to understand the spiritual. And it was important that Jesus would let us know today that young people have the tendency of getting on the wrong track. But I thought about that today, and I say, well, not only young folks get on the wrong track, but I know some adults that are on the wrong track. But here, this parable is filled with important things that we need to pay attention to. And I want you to pay attention to, because it starts out saying a certain man had two sons. And as I said on last Sunday, my Holy Ghost imagination mind works with me here. And I just think that the Lord said a certain man had two sons, because so many times and often we put the whole burden of children, raising children, on the mother. Can I get a witness here? But fathers have a responsibility. Can I get a witness? I don't know about you, but I had a wonderful father. I had a father that raised 8 children. I had a father that went out and worked. I had a father that lived the life. I had a father that cared for his family, a father that was concerned about his children. Let me tell you, let no one fool you. When you can have a father, somebody ought to thank God for a father. No, we thank God for our mothers. But did you not know so many times what is absent in the family is a father? I'm not talking about a natural father making a baby. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about a father that plays the father role. Will someone hear me today? Because you see, not all fathers are real fathers. Y'all don't want to hear me today. You see, you got a lot of men living in the house. Can I get a witness? But they ain't worth a dime. Y'all don't want me to talk here today. I say not worth a dime. All they doing is just laying up. But here in this text, the Lord gives some direction. Lord gives some insight. The Lord gives some understanding that a father had two sons. Somebody ought to thank God right now for a godly father. Somebody ought to thank God for a father that went out and worked. Somebody ought to thank God for a father that didn't put all the burden of children being raised on the wife, on the mother. Somebody ought to thank God for a father that said, get up and let's go to church. Somebody ought to thank God for a father that came in at the right time. Somebody ought to thank God for a sober father. Somebody ought to thank God for a father that's not strung out on drugs. Somebody ought to thank God for a father that's not locked up in jail. Somebody ought to thank God for a father that is an example of fatherhood. Here, a certain man had two sons. And I believe the reason why the Lord talked in a parable about two sons, because he could have said a certain man had a son. But there's something he wants us to see. He wants us to have a broad view. And he wants us to show that all children are not the same. Can I get a witness? All brothers and sisters are not the same. Some go right and some go wrong. Can I get a witness? And he wants us to see, this is why you should read the Bible. Because the Bible is not archaic. It is called the living word. The living word. Because you see, it talks about real issues of life. Somebody ought to praise God for the living word. And the Bible says, son, a man, a father had two sons. Now he talks about this first younger son first. Let's kind of talk about him. Can we give him a name? What name should we call this younger son? What should his name be? Well, it's prodigal. If you know a prodigal son, call his name right now. And lift his name up to the Lord right now and just tell the Lord about this son. And let's see how the word talks about him. The Bible said this younger son came, I can see him now. You know how they do. Coming to the father and say, give me the portion of good that falleth to me. And the Bible said that when the younger son requested part of his father's estate, you know this, that he was supposed to receive it when the father dies. But you see, or at a certain age. But he wanted it before time. Y'all don't know anything about that, do you? These young people want things before time. Can I get a witness? They want things to appear that money grows on trees. Y'all don't hear me? They think you can just get a computer by just walking the store and say, just go in Target, just go in Best Buy, and mom, just go in, walk in the store, and I need a computer. Just walk in and tell them that Sally or Mary, my daughter, want a computer, and they just gonna give it to you. No. Even a computer costs some money. These these TVs that we have, this flat screen HD TV. Young folks don't want to look at the old TV anymore. They say, now, give it to me now. I said to the wife some time ago, I'm going to buy Haley a flat screen TV. And at that time, the flat screen TV cost, I think, about $1,600 or $2,100. And she said, are you crazy? She don't need any flat screen TV. And at that time, we didn't even have one in the bedroom. But that's my little baby. You see what I'm saying? But now, praise the Lord for flat screen TV. Thank God the price have come way down. Y'all don't think it ain't no $2,100, $1,600 now. It's just a couple $100. And praise the Lord, Haley has a flat screen TV now. Isn't that wonderful? She is so happy. And I'm so happy for it. But let's talk about now. Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. There may be somebody in this building upset with your mother and upset with your father because you want something and you want them to give it to you. And I noticed that the father had wisdom. Did you not know to raise children today, you got to have wisdom. You got to have wisdom and insight to raise children. And the Bible said the father had the wisdom of laying a solid foundation. And I want you to look at that. The first S for getting your life on the right track is a solid foundation. And let no one fool you. You're blessed if your life is on a solid foundation. Because the Bible said in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, the Bible said a house that is on a solid foundation. The Bible says a house that is on a solid foundation, the house that, you know the Bible saying, St. Matthew, the house that is on the rock and not on the sand. Is anyone here glad that God helped you to get on a solid foundation? Because you see, you got to lay a solid foundation for your children today. Because you see, the Bible said that house that is on a solid foundation, that house that is on the rock, when the rain comes, when the storms come, when the wind blows, that house does not fall apart. One of the reasons why you see young people and older people in drugs. One of the reasons why you see young people stealing. One of the reasons why you see young people in jail is because when the storms came, when the tough times came, when the difficult times of life came, because they weren't on a solid foundation, their house fell, and they fell and went in the wrong direction. But let me tell you, you ought to thank God today for being on a solid foundation. You ought to thank God, because had it not been for that solid foundation, the rain been pouring in, the storms been coming in your life, difficult times, tough time, sometime no money, sometime you barely making, instead of going in the wrong direction in the storm, you are calling on Jesus. You ought to thank God that you know how to handle the wind and handle the storm, not because you so great, it's because something been built inside. A seed has been planted in your life. A foundation has been laid. Let me tell you, part of that foundation is to have good role models, to see a mother and see a father handling tough things, instead of your mother and father falling apart, going in the wrong direction. You seeing your mother, you seeing your father call on Jesus. That's a solid foundation. Somebody here today needs to be solid. Let me tell you why it's important to be solid. And I just wish I had more time to talk about this. Because there's so much peer pressure. There's so much TV ads. So many commercials. So much publicity. So many distractions in life. The reason why some of y'all are here today, even though it's Super Bowl Sunday, and you're so glad that the Super Bowl didn't come at this hour. You are so happy. Because you can't wait to see the New Orleans Saints. You can't wait to see the Colts. And you know, if the Super Bowl came at 11 o'clock, you know you wouldn't be sitting up in here today. Come on and talk to me. But praise God for the handful of people who are on a solid foundation. Know that the Super Bowl can't save them. Know that the Super Bowl can't save them. Know that they better stop by the church and put God first. Somebody ought to thank God, knowing how. A solid foundation. I don't know if I'm going to get to my other points, but I just got to talk about this solid foundation. Because you see, a solid foundation means you put your priorities in place. Somebody hear me. You see, when you have parents that teach you the right way and teach you priorities and teach you value. I know a young lady, I won't call her name because some of y'all might know who I'm talking about, and I can't trust you that far. Can't get witness. I know a young lady, and man, she leave home before time. And she spends all her money to get rich, to get the best of furniture. You see, when you have a solid foundation, it tells you don't live beyond your means. Can I get a witness? Don't live beyond your means. Don't try to keep up with the Joneses. Don't try to be impressive. Just thank God for the little that you have and use what you have. When you're on a solid foundation. You know how to get things in order. I want to talk to you here because some of y'all need to hear me today. You know how to put the right thing first. I looked for years. And you can just put down this a little bit. I looked for years at my father when we were coming up. For years, he would sit at the kitchen table on Saturday, getting the bills ready. And the first check he wrote was his tithe. I seen that for years. I seen that for years with a man raising 8 children. Seen it for years with a man who bill collectors call throughout the week. But on Saturday, before any bill collector, regardless how often they call, he put God's money first. Somebody need to hear that today. He didn't just give a contribution. He gave God his tithes. Somebody ought to hear me. And let me tell you, a solid foundation is important. Because once you get in the habit of doing your money your way, nobody can break that. The Bible said that the father understood that this son didn't have his priority. My mother would never, and my father would never take God's money and spend on a vacation. My father and mother would never take God's money, their tithe, and spend it on themselves or spend it on pleasure, because they believe that. And some folks will never tithe to the day they die because they don't believe it. Can I get a witness? Some things you got to do because you believe it. You can't say you're on a solid foundation robbing God every Sunday, every week, buying all kinds of expensive cars and Lexus and BMWs and Mercedes, and then when it comes to God, you will have nothing. Let me tell you, the God that gives is the God that taketh away. Nobody can control anybody's money, but God sees it. You don't do it because of people. You do it because you're on a solid foundation. When you give unto the Lord. The Bible said that this young son said, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. I just want to ask a question here today, if you will let me. Amen. Are anybody here glad that you had a mother or father that put you on the right road? Anybody here today glad that you had somebody that's made you do what you didn't want to do? Anybody here glad today that you got a pastor? Pastor Monk, for matter of fact, call my name. No, y'all don't want to call my name. Amen. But aren't you glad that you got a pastor that tells you that your money belongs to God, that God gave it to you? And we ain't begging here. We just preaching the word. We just telling the truth. And if the word finds you, say, Lord, help me to do better. Lord, help me to get on the right track. Lord, help me to get my priorities together. Let me tell you, don't put everything on you. Put some things on God. Give God an opportunity to bless you. Give God an opportunity to open up the floodgates. Let me tell you, you can't lose if you do what God tells you to do. Bible said, and I say this, another S is self-centered. One thing the devil knows how to do is get us caught up in self. For when that son asked for the goods that fallen to him, he couldn't care less about his father. He could care less about his brother. He could care less about anybody but himself. Is there anyone here know anybody like that? Is there anyone here knows that there are some people so self-centered? Just this week, a young lady knocks on the church office door. I don't mean to talk about her, but since she ain't here, I will talk about her. Knocks on the church office. And I opened the door and asked, how are you? What can I do for you? And she asked me for some money. And I told her, we don't keep money here at the church. And so we didn't have any money. And then she said, I want you to take me somewhere. And I said, I can't take you somewhere because I'm doing something here. She slams the door and says, some kind of church. People are so selfish. People are out for themselves. Long as they get what they want, there people will take your last dollar. Your last dollar. I know a young man. Back in the day, in my early 20s, a young man came to me and said he needed $700. And some people can really plead it, you know. And you want $700. Me with a tender heart. He said he needs $700 to take care of his wife and take care of his baby. And he told me, and matter of fact, this was the person who's supposed to be a friend of mine. So I ain't gonna call a name because y'all have a way of trying to check things out, I say. And I gave the person $700. And I said, look, I will let you have $700, but it's right here at income tax time. And I need that money to pay my income taxes. And he promised me that he would give me the $700 before income tax time came. It's been 25 years, and I haven't seen the $700 till this day. Somebody else say amen. Let me y'all just stick with me just a few moments. Sacrifice. Everybody say sacrifice. How many of you know that you wouldn't be where you are today if someone didn't make some sacrifices for you? How many of you know that the house that you live in, you wouldn't have that house today had you not made some sacrifices? Even the little money that you got, the little nest egg that you got, is because you made some sacrifices. And I want to say this before I close, because I know I can't keep you too long here today. Your minds are way down somewhere. And it's hard preaching to a Super Bowl crowd. It's not easy preaching to a Super Bowl crowd. But let me just say a word about sacrifice. Because let me tell you, one of the things that you all believe is that you thank Jesus most for is because he sacrificed. And he sacrificed for you, and he sacrificed for me. He didn't take the easy way out. He didn't take the convenient way out. He sacrificed. And let me tell you, when you sacrifice, you don't do what you want to do. You don't do what you want to do when you want to do it. You do because it's the right thing to do. You do it because it is something that you need to do. When you go to work on Monday, you don't work because you want to work. You sacrifice because you need to work. And when you sacrifice, brothers and sisters, sacrifice to try to get something in life. We need to learn how to give up something. Can I get a witness? Sacrifice is mean how to deny yourself. The Bible says, if any man will come unto me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And I want to tell somebody, if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to have to learn how to sacrifice. You're going to have to learn how to do things when it's not easy. You're going to have to learn how to do things for Christ when it's difficult. You got to learn how to press your way. Because you see, the word sacrifice is missing from the Christian vocabulary. Can I get a witness? We live as if life is always easy. But I come to tell you, somebody, some folks don't understand that when you sacrifice, God will bless him. Is there anyone here know that if your mother had not sacrificed, if your father had not sacrificed, let me tell you what sacrificing is. It's about paying the price, going through something to get something. Is there anyone here willing to sacrifice? And the reason why a lot of Christians are not happy is because they haven't learned how to sacrifice. You see, when you sacrifice, you learn how to consecrate yourself, how to dedicate yourself. You learn how to look at what is valuable and what is not valuable. You see, sacrifice. And I say this and I let you go. Don't just sacrifice for yourself. Don't just sacrifice to have a big bank account. Don't just live for yourself. Live for Jesus. Don't be selfish. Don't always just look out for yourself. I said this and I'll let you go. When we were coming up, we had 8 kids. We were poor. We didn't even know we were poor. Y'all not poor. But we were poor. And we didn't even know we were poor. Now, let me give you some poor man talk. We'll leave on the poor language. But you see, the old folks had some principles. Maybe they didn't do it the way you and I would do it, but they wanted the right concepts to get in us. I remember the way we were raised. We rationed food out. I didn't know we were poor. Mother and father, we would have one chicken and feed the whole family on one chicken. Nowadays, I can eat the whole thing myself. But back in the day, no, there was no such thing, eating the whole chicken. No. Now, and the younger children had the smaller pieces. First, we had the wing, and then the different parts of the chicken. And sometime when we had a little bit more extra on the table, our parents taught us that don't take the last chicken leg, don't take the last thing on the table. What they were really trying to teach us, don't just look out for yourself. Look out and see if somebody else wants something. Don't just serve your own needs. And I come to tell you, I want to thank God today for my mother and my father. Because had they not taught me these principles, when my father got old and feeble, and when my father got Alzheimer, if that seed was not planted in me, I don't believe I would have gone back to Pennsylvania and brought my dad out here and took care of him to the day he died. Thank God for somebody teaching me, don't be all out for yourself. The reason why sometimes things can't get done, the reason why the load fall on one person is because somebody is not ready to sacrifice. They want to live conveniently. They want to live like there's no tomorrow. They want to live like everything's all right. But somebody got to stop. Somebody got to say, we got to pay a price. Dad been too good to us. Mom been too good to us. We got to let them know in their declining years that they are loved. Yeah. Bless you. God bless you. Look at these S's. We're trying to find a way to get some of them in because these S's are important. You got to have a solid foundation. You got to pray that you're not self-centered. And I know if I start talking about this stuff like it's supposed to be talking, y'all get upset. Y'all get upset. Y'all say, Pastor say, don't go to the beauty shop. Pastor say, don't do that. No, I ain't telling anybody that. I ain't telling anybody that. I'm saying, put Jesus first. Because one thing I found out about people, they may not sacrifice for the Lord, but they want him to sacrifice for them. Come on, give God a hand of praise. Bow your heads with me. O Lord, our God and our Father, as we pause for a moment, we want to thank you for those who have come before us. Thank you for those who raised us, who taught us, and made us do things that we didn't want to do. But thank you for the right training. Thank you for the right understanding. Now, Father, we pray that it will take root today in somebody's life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just give us about 5 more minutes before we close. But let me just ask if there's a person here today that will accept Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior. Maybe the Lord is speaking to you and saying it's time to turn your life around. Maybe the Lord is telling you it's time to get on the right road. Maybe the Lord is saying it's time for you to get your family on the right track. Maybe you may say you've been on the right track, but you have strayed and it's time to get back on the right track. We serve a wonderful God, don't we? We serve a wonderful Savior. He's a merciful Savior. He's a loving Savior. And he's a great God. If you're here today and you want to join Jesus, and you want to join the church, you may signify by lifting up your hands. And we'll be so glad to receive you in Jesus' name. God bless you. Praise God. Is there another say, I want to join Jesus. Want to be a part of Jesus. God bless you. See your hand. Is there another person that say, I want to join Jesus. Want to join the church. Because you see, it's all about Jesus, isn't it? Tell somebody it's about Jesus. It's about looking to him and let no one fool you. There are some things you can't do of yourself. We might try to lead ourselves, but nobody can lead you and guide you like the Lord. Nobody can direct you like Jesus. I want you to just give our blessed Savior a hand. Give our blessed Savior a hand. And as First Lady, we see people's name. You just take your paper and pencil, get the name and address. Amen. We just do that. Just raise your hand right here. This lady here, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. She just wanted to see who you were. Well, we're glad to have you. Just give your name and address and phone number to her. Amen. Amen. Give your name and phone number to her. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. While we are receiving the information, let me just say this, and then we'll be ready to go shortly. Come out to Bible study. Next Sunday, we're just looking for a big time, and it's Love Day. Those who will, you can dress in red, just come and And we're going to, church, just want to be in great loving order on next Sunday. And those who are going to be honored, please be here and try to invite your friends. And we're just looking for a wonderful time and a wonderful celebration. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Will you just stand? We're going to do it the way I feel led to do it. Amen. Please stand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Come and give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Amen. Get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church. Get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church, and let's go home. May God, God of peace, the God of love, may you walk with him. May you know he's with you. God bless you. I'm going to see our brother and our sister at the church. God bless you. Take somebody.